on 2FM with Green Farm. Get real with Green Farm's chicken and turkey range. Real protein, real tasty. Game on, weeknights from 6
on 2FM.
Yes, well, a big thank you to Laura Fox for kicking off the weekend in perfect fashion. It's Friday, the 25th of February. I'm Shane Dawson, and you're listening to Game On. Coming up over the next hour, I'll be joined by Lisa Fallon on Association Football as Caoimhín Kelleher is ready for a cup final with Liverpool, and there's a full billing in the League of Ireland to look forward to this evening. In GAA, we'll have Shane McGrath and Neil Ewing on the Allianz Leagues action, and in rugby, we'll hear from Andy Farrell on the Irish team. He's picked to face Italy in the Six Nations. And if that wasn't enough, we'll be focusing on athletics with Eno Reardon of the Irish Times in studio to preview the National Indoor Championships that take place this weekend. As always, if you want to get in touch, you can do so by texting us on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM.
Game On on 2FM.
Yes, it is great to have your company on this Friday evening. I'm Shane Dawson. You're listening to Game On, and I'm delighted to be in the company live in studio of Eno Reardon of the Irish Times. Ian, great to chat as always. Before we do get into the nuts and bolts of this evening's show, a couple of headlines to run through the headline news of the day. The Republic of Ireland's UEFA Nations League away clash with Ukraine looks certain to be played at a neutral venue after the governing body made significant scheduling changes in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. That was originally scheduled for Lviv on June 14th. The FAI have said yesterday that they will welcome Ukraine to Lansdowne Road for the opening fixture of the group on June 4th. Yesterday, UEFA began drawing up contingency plans for the Champions League final, which was due to take place in the Russian city of St. Petersburg on May 28th. That game will now be played at Stade de France in Paris. UEFA also said that the home games of Ukrainian and Russian club and national teams compete in UEFA competitions will be played at neutral venues until further notice, they mentioned. Sticking with soccer, West Ham will face six-time winners Sevilla in the Europa League last 16, while Scottish champions Rangers have been drawn against Serbia's Red Star Belgrade. Leicester will play Rennes in the Europa Conference League last 16, and Barcelona will meet Galatasaray in the Europa League as well. That one certainly caught my eye. Really looking forward to that. A bit of a throwback to proper UEFA Cup 90s football, that one is. We heard Sebastian Vettel's thoughts on the matter last night's show. We played a clip of him on Game On, but it's now being confirmed that Formula One bosses have cancelled the Russian Grand Prix. The race in Sochi was due to take place on September 25th, but it has now been scrapped, and understandably so. Finally, in boxing, both Kelly Harrington and Aoife O'Rourke have secured gold medal bouts after unanimous victories in their respective semi-finals in the Strange tournament in Sofia. Harrington will face the winner of the clash between Serbia's Natalia Shadrina and Russia's Nyon Astrian in tomorrow's final. But Ian, I suppose we were talking there before about, I suppose, the implications of the sanctions that, from sporting side of things, on how Russia and how Ukrainian teams will, I suppose, take part, if they will. Obviously, there are still Russian teams in the Champions League or in the Europa League. But the news that I've just mentioned there, it seems that sport will be affected, and I suppose it's inconsequential in the grand scheme of things, but there's also always a sporting perspective and a sporting angle when there's world affairs like this.
Yeah, I suppose two things. Number one, it is good to see some swift action right there. I mean, the Champions League, that was obviously a big deal to take it out of St. Petersburg. The Formula One being cancelled, that's a big money spinner for that event as well. But I'd like to see a little bit more. I mean, obviously FIFA may be waiting to see how things transpire, the International Olympic Committee as well, even if it's just a kind of not a token gesture, but a kind of a statement, I suppose. Look, you're suspended from basically our International Olympic Committee or the FIFA, something like that. We probably will see more sporting federations do that. And I think that's the one thing, if you can punish, I mean, it's all very well to have the financial sanctions or the trade sanctions, but I think if you see a lot more sporting sanctions like that, that I think that'll start to maybe drill it home a little bit more to Russia. But in the meantime, it's just really sad, and it's really sad for Ukrainian sport as well, who obviously they've been caught in the crossfire, so to speak. But no, I do think more sports need to make stronger statements on this.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen pictures of Alexander Zinchenko, the Manchester as the city left Hull, kind of taking part in meetings and protests over in Manchester as well. So it is wide-ranging and all-effective. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out. And obviously, as I say, sport is somewhat inconsequential when there is so much more serious matters at play. But for the moment anyway, we do have to kind of take it day by day with that. In other sports news as well, I didn't mention rugby in my intro, but closer to home, Michael Lowry will win his first international cap as one of six changes made to the Ireland team to face Italy on Sunday in the Six Nations. Robbie Henshaw, James Lowe, Dan Sheehan, Ryan Baird and Peter O'Mahony all come in to Andy Farrell's side, who were beaten by France last time out. It means there is no starting place for Johnny Sexton, who was named on the bench, with Pete O'Mahony taking over the captaincy duties. Italy, meanwhile, have made three changes to their lineup. There's a Six Nations debut for Zebre's Pierre Bruno on the right wing, while centre Leandro Marin of Benetton has been handed his first tournament start, with clubmate Giovanni Pettinelli coming in at blindside flanker. Andy Farrell was up on media duty today, and he was speaking on the inclusion of Joey Carberry and indeed Michael Lowry.
Game on.
Rugby. Back-to-back test matches is a great experience for anybody, really, especially somebody in a pivotal position like fly half. Joey handled the occasion very well last week. There's a lot that he's learned from the game, and he's ready to put that into action this week. Regarding Michael Lowry, we're all excited to see him get his chance. He deserves it. He's come into camp. He came into camp first and foremost in the summer as a stand-in originally, and he performed very well in training under pressure then, and since you can see that experience has whetted his appetite. You've seen it in his performances for Ulster, but more importantly, we've seen it under pressure here in camp, which sometimes is by far and away the most extreme pressure that the lads can be put under, and the likes of Mikey deserve the chance because they've shown everyone in the group that they're ready.
Game on.
Rugby.
Okay, there were the thoughts of Andy Farrell. Really looking forward to that one, Ireland-Italy on Sunday. Hopefully an Irish victory, of course, I say, with my impartial journalistic hat on. Ian O'Riordan, you're going to have a cup of tea, take a break. We'll be chatting athletics a little bit later. As I mentioned, the National Indoor Championships coming up. So we'll get the thoughts of Ian O'Riordan from the Irish Times on that. We'll also have Neil Ewing and Shane McGrath on Gaelic football and hurling, respectively. But up after the break, we'll turn our attention to football. Caoimhín Kelleher, the League Cup final, and indeed a full billing of League of Ireland fixtures this evening. We'll have Lisa Fallon on the line, so do stay with us.
RTE
2FM.
Game on.
On 2FM with Green Farm. Being flat to the mat isn't real. Our protein is. Get real with Green Farm. Real protein, real tasty.
Hello, once again, you're very welcome back to Game On. It is great to have your company on this Friday evening as we welcome Lisa Fallon into the conversation as we turn our attention to football. Lisa, so much to get through, so let's kick things off with domestic action, the League of Ireland. I believe you're off to St. Pat's against Sligo, so we may as well start there. Pat's obviously coming off the back of a 3-0 victory over Shelburne in the iconic Tolka Park. Sligo's first game, obviously, with their match against Bowes called off on week one due to the inclement weather conditions. Seven new faces in the Sligo squad. It's anyone's guess who will start in attack. Aidan Keane, Max Matta, Jordan Hamilton are all central strikers, I should say, signed by Sligo in recent weeks. And then obviously Pats are coming off that victory over Shells and impressive new signings. The continued rise of Dara Burns, the undoubted class of Chris Forrester, Lisa Fallon, this has it all.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really interesting game. I was at the Shells and Pats game last week and, you know, to be fair to Shells, they actually did really well. They started the game, you know, came out of the traps, pressed high, really aggressive. And I was really impressed. And to be fair to them, they actually could have possibly been 2-0 up before Dara Burns unleashed that absolute belter. Like, it was what a cracking goal. But, you know, Pats were a little bit more streetwise, I thought, than Shelburne last week, and Pat's first two goals came from Shelburne errors, you know, just misplaced passes, and Pat's just picked it up, intercepted the ball and counterattacked it really quickly. So I think there's a bit of a maturity in this Pat's team this year. You know, they know each other, and there's a nice bit of flair to them as well. But like I said, they're a little bit streetwise, not really sure what to expect from Sligo, because they had, you know, they had such a good season last year, finished third. But obviously, I think the losses of Johnny Kenny and John Mahon are big for Sligo, and I haven't seen them yet. So, and to be fair, I think Jim Clancy has said he hasn't seen them yet either. So it'll be really interesting to see what Sligo team goes out tonight and how they look. But I noticed from Liam Buckley's comments, he feels he's a really balanced squad this year. So, a game I'm really looking forward to be honest.
Absolutely, and Tim Clancy's first game in charge in Richmond Park as well. John Kenny is our RT reporter, and he's up in the Brandywell ahead of the televised game this evening, Derry City against Shamrock Rovers.
Game on.
Football. Seems to be plenty of money around Derry City these days, so much so that the manager, Rory Higgins, has just got himself a four-year deal. The talk around the town is that Derry City could well be title contenders this year. They were missing a couple of new signings, Michael Duffy and Patrick McElhenney, last week in the 2-2 draw against Dundalk when they twice came from behind, and they may be involved in the game tonight. But the Hoops have won the last six meetings between the sides at the Brandywell. In fact, last year they sent up a makeshift side due to a COVID-19 scare in the first team, and they went 2-0 down before eventually winning by 4-2. Tickets have been an absolute premium this week. The Hoops sold out their away allocation of 350 tickets in less than 10 minutes. The rest of the ground is full. Kickoff is at 7:45. It's live on RT2 television.
Game on.
Football.
Yes, Lisa, John mentioned there that these are two sides that could be contenders for the title. I mean, come on, being honest here, this is first against second. Surely already we can call that.
Oh, I think this is absolutely going to be a belter tonight, and probably stay up and watch it when I get in after the game. But yeah, I think there's, you know, with Derry City, I think their recruitment has been really top class, and, you know, they've brought back a lot of Derry lads. There'll be a real Derry identity to this team. You know, they're going to be sold out in the Brandywell. And like, I think I mentioned it last week that, you know, I remember with Cork City going to the Brandywell, you know, in early years. And it was such a tough, tough place to go. The atmosphere, you know, it was just a hard place to go. You never looked forward to going up there. And then it kind of, they went through a phase where you didn't mind going up there because you felt you'd get points. But I think there's a different edge to them this season with Rory, and obviously he's brought in Alan Reynolds. And I think there's just going to be a bit more bite to this Derry team, a lot more quality in it, and local lads who'll play for the badge and know what it means to Derry and what football means in that city. So I think Derry will be, I think Derry will absolutely be contenders this year. I know they might talk it down, but I think they definitely will be. And I think this will be a really, really tough game for Shamrock Rovers, who obviously had a good win against UCD last week. But, you know, this is a Rovers team that set the tone and set the bar for the last couple of seasons. They're going for three in a row this year. I'm sure they won't talk about it too much, but everybody will want to stop them doing that. And yeah, I think this is going to be an absolute cracker tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. A sold out Brandywell. It's going to be brilliant. It's interesting. Michael Duffy, Patrick McElhenney should come back, but when Alan Reynolds was asked about it, his response was, things are looking up on the absentee front. So Rennie, coy as ever.
He's not going to give too much away.
Very briefly, Lisa, we'll rattle through the rest of the fixtures. Bowes, Dundalk, several key players have obviously left Bowes. They've been replaced by men of real potential, including former Dundalk players Jordan Flores and junior Ogedi Uzogwe. Dundalk seem like they certainly will be a threat under Stephen O'Donnell. They drew 2-2 with Derry last week. Keith Ward returning to Daly Mount as well, so plenty of subplots, and another match that should be thoroughly entertaining.
Yeah, and like, to be fair, I know Bowes again have had a bit of a turnover in the off season, but you know, they still have the likes of Ali Coote, Dawson Devoy, Liam Burt there. Like, they've got good players, and you know, I think Bowes will always be a team that will be there or thereabouts. But I think, to be fair to Bowes as well, there does come a point where they have to go and really challenge. I'm not sure that this year will be that year on the basis that they lost Georgie Kelly and Andy Lyons and Ross Tierney. But there still is going to be, you know, Bowes have to be there or thereabouts, and so do Dundalk. And obviously, with Dundalk dropping a couple of points in the first day of the season, you know, you don't want to be only on 1 point after your first two games. And for Bowes, obviously, they didn't play last week either. Their game got postponed due to the weather. So again, they'll be chomping at the bit. But to be fair, I actually fancy Dundalk in this one. And the only reason being, they had such a tough game against Derry last week. And I think a game like that really, really stands to you. And obviously, Bowes had no game. So I think this will be... Listen, they're all going to be good games, but I have a feeling Dundalk might win this one.
Okay, Bowes fans, one, thank you for that. But it will be interesting to see how Stephen O'Donnell and Dundalk do fare this year. Drogheda Shells, obviously two teams that were probably looking to retain their Premier Division status. The last time Shells were up in United Park was, of course, a 3-1 promotion clinching victory back in September 2019 when Aidan Friel, Oscar Brennan, Lorcan Fitzgerald etched their names into Shelburne folklore. UCD Harps also goes ahead this evening in the Belfield Bowl. I love the quote from Ollie Horgan: "We've always struggled in Belfield over the years, and I don't see Friday night being any different." That's just peak Ollie Horgan. Sticking with SSE or Tracy Premier Division news, RT announced today that they are set to televise three matches: Drogheda United vs Dundalk on Friday, March 18th, St. Pat's Dundalk on Friday, April 8th, and the third match set to be a live broadcast will be Sligo Rovers versus Shamrock Rovers, which has been moved from Saturday, April 30th to Friday, April 29th, with a kickoff of 7:45. So it's great to see more live games on the box. In the first division, Cove, Wexford, Cork, Galway, Waterford, Bray, Treaty United versus Athlone is off due to a waterlogged pitch, I believe. Lisa, turning our attention to the Premier League, Southampton versus Norwich this evening. Unfortunately, the two Norwich players missing are Adam Ida and Andrew Omobamadeli. So from an Irish perspective, that's a bit disappointing. But tomorrow, there's a full listing as well. The early kickoff, Leeds versus Spurs. Two managers somewhat under pressure. I'm sure you've heard Conte's comments. It's rare to hear that honesty, I suppose.
Yeah, and then he obviously issued an apology for those comments today, and, you know, I suppose declared that he feels a bit emotional sometimes after games, but obviously, you know, it's a big game for Leeds as well. Two clubs struggling a little bit at the minute, and I think as well, just with the fact that you have Chelsea and Liverpool playing in the Carabao Cup final on the Sunday, you know, there's an opportunity for teams to maybe just try and pick up some points and get a little nudge up the table. I know there'll be games in hand for the others, but, you know, just getting points on board, it makes a big thing. But, you know, Leeds are down 15th place at the moment, and, you know, they're only 3 points above the relegation zone. And, you know, I think there is a bit of pressure on Leeds at the moment, and they do desperately need points, and they need to start picking them up quickly, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Full list of 3 p.m. fixtures. Christian Eriksen set to return for Brentford against Newcastle, so that's obviously a really good feel-good story. Manchester United face Watford to see if they can continue their, I suppose, good form after a somewhat positive result, possibly not a great performance. And then Frank Lampard will go head-to-head with Pep in the evening kickoff tomorrow, Everton versus Manchester City. One Premier League fixture on Sunday is West Ham versus Wolves, but as you mentioned, the League Cup final, Chelsea versus Liverpool, takes place on Sunday. Lisa, Liverpool forward Roberto Firmino will miss the Carabao Cup final against Chelsea at Wembley with a groin injury as the Reds look for a first domestic cup in a decade. Diego Jota is a doubt with ankle ligament damage. Chelsea's only definite injury absentee is left back Ben Chilwell. I mentioned it was the Carabao Cup, but perhaps we should be calling it the Quivine Cup. I know Jamie Carragher was in the press today saying he doesn't agree with playing your reserve goalkeeper, for want of a better word. I'm always battling for the goalkeepers union here. And I suppose from an Irish perspective, it's great to see Quivine get a chance on a big stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair to Jurgen Klopp, like the day after Liverpool knocked Arsenal out in the semi-final, Klopp actually said that day that he would start in the final. You know, and I think he's played in every domestic cup competition this season. Perhaps, I think, maybe with the exception of the first leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final, because I think they played Alisson in that one because he needed a game after COVID. But I think it's... It's an interesting one, and I accept Carragher's point, but I think it's difficult when you've got two really, really good goalkeepers who could be number or should be number ones at your club, because it's a very difficult balancing act. Because from the club's perspective, from the manager's perspective, you're kind of being a bit selfish because you want both and you want a really strong number two. But for the player who is a number two and should be a number one and could be a number one at another club, it's very difficult. And I think we saw a similar situation, you know, over recently with Chelsea. They played in the Club World Cup and they had Kepa in goal for the semi-final, and he made two unbelievable saves to literally keep them in the game and late on. And then he got dropped, and Mendy, who had just come back into the squad from being away in the AFCON, got picked to play in the final. And I think that's really tough. And you're looking at, you know, in those two, a 26-year-old and a 29-year-old goalkeeper. In Liverpool, you've got Alisson, who's touted as being the best goalkeeper in the world in Jurgen Klopp's eyes. And then you've got Caoimhín Kelleher, who's 23. Alisson's 29, so Alisson's got a few years left in him, and I think Jurgen knows that he has to play Caoimhín Kelleher if he wants to keep him at the club. But, you know, is playing just domestic cup competitions enough to keep a player and a goalkeeper of that calibre at your club? I'm sure Stephen Kenny would want him playing a little bit more regularly. And you know, as the years tick on and he starts moving into his mid-20s, it's going to become more and more important that he is playing regularly. So, yes, I can understand the one school of thought that, look, if you're the number one, you're the number one and you play the big games. But if you're the number two, I think Klopp has probably made a commitment to him that he plays in these competitions and that they're there for him and he knows that he plays them. But I think he has to make some sort of a sacrifice, and he has to, it's not even a sacrifice to be fair, but he has to make a concession and he has to play him if he wants to keep him, because you can't expect him to sit there and just, you know, get a few splinters on the bench.
Yeah, I mentioned reserve goalkeepers, but they're no mugs, to be fair. Caoimhín Kelleher and Kepa, both two extremely talented players. That isn't the only big match on Sunday, though. You will be joining Dara Maloney for commentary, Lisa, because Ireland fans will be able to watch a number of our national team stars on Sunday as RTE Television are set to televise the clash Arsenal and Liverpool in the Women's FA Cup. The fifth round tie sees current WSL table toppers Arsenal travel to Championship leaders Liverpool, and that will be live in the RTE News Channel. Irish trio Megan Campbell, Niamh Fahey, Leanne Kiernan could all feature for Liverpool, while Ireland captain Katie McCabe is a key player for Arsenal. How much are you looking forward to this one?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think, you know, it should be a really good game. Matt Beard's gone into Liverpool this year and he's a really experienced manager, former West Ham manager, and actually brought Leanne Kiernan there. So, and Leanne is absolutely flying since she's gone to Liverpool. She had a tough time at West Ham. She struggled with injuries, but she's got 12 goals so far this season. And, you know, she's a good player. She's on form. So even from an Irish perspective, from a women's team perspective, looking ahead to the Sweden game, which is going to be huge, you know, we have the Irish interest in Katie McCabe, Niamh, Megan, and obviously with Megan Campbell, she has just come back from a serious injury as well, and she came on as a sub in Liverpool's last game against Sunderland before the international break. So it'd be really good if we can get to see Megan Campbell getting some more game time during this one. But even, like I said, even from an Irish perspective, Arsenal have like just a team absolutely littered with international players, top quality players. Vivian Miedema, who's the Netherlands top, like she's just their top goal scorer, and she's so young, and she's possibly going to move from Arsenal this year, but I think she's got eight goals so far this season, and she's a top quality striker. But be interesting to see as well from an Irish perspective, Stina Blackstenius. So she also plays up top for Arsenal, and she is Sweden's top striker. So with that game in mind, it'd be interesting to have a look at her again, and just from an Irish interest. But I think as well, just to see the level that our players are progressing to, and you know, the standards that exist in the women's game and how the women's game is developing. I think it's really great to get that extra bit of exposure. It's another women's game on TV, another opportunity to see our female players. Yeah, I actually think it'd be a really good game. Arsenal obviously will be strong favourites, which means Liverpool have nothing to lose. But this Liverpool team are a good team. And Arsenal, just to put it in a little bit of context, Arsenal overcame London City Lionesses 1-0 in their last game to win, to go through to this round. London City obviously were my old team, but London City are currently second to Liverpool in the Championship. So there's not going to be... I think this could be a tight game, regardless of the fact that there's a division separating the two teams.
Indeed it will. Really looking forward to that one. 12 p.m. kickoff on RT News Now. Dara Maloney will be commentating alongside Lisa Fallon. Lisa, thank you very much. Enjoy Pats v Sligo this evening, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again on all things football. We'll turn our attention to GAA next.
RTE
2FM.
Game on
2FM with Green Farm. Rise and grind and the hustle mindset aren't real. The protein in our chicken and turkey is. Get real with Green Farm. Real protein, real tasty.
Game on.
Gaelic football.
Hello, once again, you are very welcome back to Game On this Friday evening. I'm Shane Dawson. I'm in the company of Ian O'Riordan of the Irish Times live in studio. And we have Neil Ewing now joining the conversation as we turn our attention to Gaelic football and the Allianz Leagues this weekend. Neil, I suppose let's start with the Saturday night fixture of Donegal and Tyrone up in McCool Park in Ballybuffet. Both teams have a win, a draw and a loss from their three respective outings. And the most recent encounter between these two rivals, of course, was a 6-point win for the Red Hand in last year's Ulster semi-final. So perhaps there might even be a bit more motivation for the home side to continue their impressive run of league results. This is, not to be cliched about it, Neil, but it's going to be one hell of a battle.
Yeah, definitely. You're looking at Donegal, that great home record that you mentioned. They're going to be doing everything they can to protect that. But Donegal are down a lot of bodies at the minute. You know, Michael Murphy looks like he's going to miss out again. Keelan McGonigal going to miss the rest of the league. Michael Langan also out. Well, obviously Michael Murphy's a miss in terms of his score and tread inside. He also does a lot along with the other two guys out around the middle. So, you know, I think they're three big losses for Donegal. Tyrone last again, I think they were pretty impressive in difficult conditions. You know, Derek Hanavan really stood up. Frank Burns again stepped up to the plate in the absence of the four guys they had from suspensions. They have those four big players, Hamsey, McGeary, McKernan, Peter Hare coming back in this weekend. I think that might just edge it for Tyrone. It's probably a bonus game for both sides in that a win would guarantee safety for them. But yeah, I think with the players coming back and the guys that are missing for Donegal, I think you just have to edge it towards Tyrone tomorrow night.
Yeah, and that one is live on RT Television. On Sunday in the Hyde, it's Mayo versus Armagh. The first league clash between these two in more than a decade. It's second against third in Division 1 standing. So two unbeaten sides, Neil. What will give come Sunday?
Yeah, this is it's an intriguing game. I suppose both have probably done enough already to see themselves safe in Division 1 for the year, which I suppose gives a degree of safety in terms of how they'll approach the game. But I just think with the styles that both management teams employ, it's going to be a really exciting game as well. There's two really big games this weekend in Division 1. Obviously the Kildare Dublin one, but in terms of what could be the most entertaining game for the spectator, I think it definitely could be this Mayo Armagh game. You know, Armagh probably had a slog last weekend against Monaghan, local derby there. This is going to be a completely different game. Mayo probably happy that they're not playing at home in Castlebar. They've struggled there in the league in the last few years. You know, the surface in Hyde Park is impeccable at the minute, so Mayo will probably be glad to get to Hyde Park. No doubt their supporters will be there in equal numbers, and they will be in McHale Park. And I'm expecting a really open game here. Encouraging to see that Oisín Mullen is named to start again. I think, you know, we all feared the worst when we seen him go down with that injury that last weekend. It would have been heartbreaking after a decision to turn down the contract in Australia if he had a serious injury. But, you know, I have to say I really enjoyed how he did everything in his power to try and convince the physios to let him stay on the pitch. And I also enjoyed when the Mayo team were doing some of the subs were doing some extra conditioning work at the end, that Oisín Mullen was still trying to fight through his injury and get through it all. So he's obviously a tough bit of stuff. But again, four changes for Mayo, two debutants again. It really speaks to what James Horan is trying to do. And, you know, the transition that he's overseen in the last 2 years is really impressive. But he's not done yet, and he's continuing to introduce new players. Aidan Norm, one of those new guys, was impressive last weekend. So yeah, going to be interesting to see how the changes impact on Mayo. Kevin McLaughlin and Aidan O'Shea to come off the bench again. Paddy Durkin back in the subs. So you'd have to fancy Mayo, I think, just based on their form this season today and that power that they have to come off the bench.
Yeah, obviously trying to find that balance between blooding a few younger guys through and indeed working on the more experienced lads in the league. Ian, I know you're here for athletics, but sure, we may as well invite you into the GA conversation. You were reporting on both Mayo and Armagh recently, but before we move on to Kildare Dublin, I suppose, just focusing on Mayo, how impressed were you with them last time out?
Yeah, well, exactly as Neil described there, strangely or otherwise, James Horan selected pretty much a kind of a younger, kind of an unexperienced team to take on Dublin, and they beat them. And they basically kind of beat them at their own game in terms of how they played some really direct football and really some swift hand passing. And in the second half, okay, it was conditions weren't great in Croke Park. And I think, what was it, 5.3 in the second half. But it's funny, just thinking about that day in Croke Park, we're all going up with all these stats like, Mayo hadn't beaten Dublin in the league since 2012. They hadn't beaten them in Dublin since 1971 or something. I think Dublin haven't lost three league games now since 2001 or something. But eventually we're going to run out of statistics from a Dublin point of view. And like this is kind of unprecedented. I don't think anyone can remember the last time they lost four league games. So I think if there was going to be a turning point in Dublin's season, we all thought it might have come last weekend, as I say, last Saturday night against Mayo. But no, quite the opposite. I think Mayo put them back in their spot again quite impressively.
Well, the last time Dublin lost four consecutive league games was in the 1971-72 campaign. I have to say I wasn't around for it, so I've done my research on that one, I believe, and I might have to credit, I think, Malachy Clerk and her Colm Keyes for that stat, I have to say. But moving on then to Kildare Dublin, as we said, Neil, like as Ian alluded to there, the kind of losing streak that Dublin are on, it was four consecutive competitive defeats for Dublin as well. It's a situation that they haven't found themselves in quite some time, as we mentioned, and it's going to be tough planning for Desi Farrell and Kildare coming off the back of that Tyrone match that they did have a chance late on with Daniel Flynn's shot just blazing over the bar, and then Mark Donnellan in goal just dragging a free wide as well. So there's a lot to play for in a sold out Newbridge, Neil.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of what's at stake, this is definitely the big game of the weekend in Division 1. I think the narrative that's growing around this Dublin team now is just fascinating. Like, you know, probably every weekend we're expecting to see something a little different, but, you know, the vulnerability is there for all of us to see, and I think it's been chipped away at, and it's becoming an issue now. Definitely, you know, I think we mentioned last week, if it's an issue outside the group, but is it an issue inside the group? But I seen some signs last week that were just a little worrying, especially from some of their leaders or some of their bigger players. Just in terms of their execution of the basics, I was very surprised that, you know, that's something that Dublin were so good at for so long. You know, and I think, you know, a team comes along and, you know, they have a trademark. You know, you think of the Armagh team that was so successful. You know, it was that crossfield ball. And, you know, they were so good at certain tactics. But I think what Dublin were so good at was the real, real basics. And, you know, one thing from watching their games over the years, they were able to do was just basic straight line kick passes because the movement off the ball was so good. But now I think they're just in that position where they're struggling so much that guys are getting on the ball and feeling like they have to do something spectacular. And then that's leading to turnovers, which is leading them to be more open at the back. So it's kind of a vicious circle that they've found themselves in, which is surprising, especially, as I say, from some of their more established players. Again, just something I seen there during the week, and I think this only starts to happen when things are going wrong. But, you know, you hear murmurs that, oh, is Conor Callan coming back? Is Conor Callan actually going to fall in with the hurlers this year? So, you know, it's rumour, but when you lose a few games, these rumours start to gather a bit of momentum. Kildare, oh, definitely they'll take huge positives from last weekend. I think we said before, Kildare can get relegated this year and still have a positive league. And, you know, the new management team have come in, they're legends in Kildare, but, you know, they've started to blood a few new bodies, maybe through necessity. I know Kevin Feely is starting to come back in. He'd be a big boost if they can get him on the pitch for a decent period of time this year. But I think what's important for Kildare in this game is to lay down a marker for later in the year. Probably Kildare went into the Leinster final last year, and maybe again it's with hindsight after Jack O'Connor moves on, but a lot of people had a go and said, you know, they just went up to try and keep the score down and they never really fired a shot. So I think Newbridge, very atmospheric ground, as you say, sold out. It's going to be a great occasion. I think Kildare support are going to get right behind this team, despite the few unfortunate defeats so far in the league. The signs of progress are there, and I think they can really put it up to Dublin with that crowd behind them. And again, I fancy Dublin to sneak it maybe by a few points if they can improve on those basics. But again, I think Kildare can come out of this with a bit of momentum, even if they do not come away with the 2 points. I think it could set us up for an exciting encounter later on in the Leinster Championship.
Okay, very, very briefly, time is against us. Monaghan against Kerry and Inishkeen on Sunday as well. Kildare and Dublin are winless, as are Monaghan, though their two draws see them in a slightly healthier position. Conor McManus should be available. I believe his red card was rescinded. But Kerry, top of the table, and just briefly, Neil, I assume that probably will be the case following the result of this match as well?
I think so. Monaghan obviously would be delighted to see Conor McManus's red card rescinded. You know, they didn't have him for 30 minutes last week. If they had him for those 30 minutes, would they have got the 2 points rather than just the one? Quite possibly. But Conor McManus is probably pushing into his mid-30s now. You know, Monaghan can't continue to rely on him. Would have to fancy Kerry. I think Kerry have two away games in Ulster in the league this year, and I think Jack O'Connor will have targeted those two games to lay down a marker that this is a different type of Kerry team. You know, that they have that maybe harder edge that they lacked last year when they conceded those goals against Tyrone. So I think this trip to Inishkeen will be a test to see where they are in terms of their progress towards that harder edge. They have Armagh later in the league. Again, that's another one they'll have targeted. But Sean O'Shea, just imperious form. I think, you know, he's a pleasure to watch. He's in top form at the minute. David Clifford, no Sigerson distractions. You'd expect him to start this weekend now. I think Kerry also had Stephen O'Brien on the bench last weekend. You know, that David Clifford and Stephen O'Brien to come off the bench shows the options they have. So it's hard to look past them. And obviously Paddy Talley, I think it'll be a benefit to them in travelling north as well. He'll have the background on the Monaghan guys as well. So hard to look past a Kerry win there. And it sets them up nicely to maintain their position at the top of the table.
Indeed it does. So much to look forward to. We'll return to GAA on Monday. Myself and Ruby Walsh will be joined by Barry Cahill. Obviously, Offaly Meath, Cork, Galway, Down, Roscommon and Clareface Derry in Division 2 as the battle to avoid the drop to Division 3, and the inaugural Tulchan Cup has taken a clear pathway with Down, Cork, Meath and Offaly winless and facing some crunch fixtures that I mentioned there. Also in Division 4, be interesting to see if London can continue their remarkable 100% record. Sligo unbeaten as well in Division 4. London face Wexford, Tipperary face Sligo. Wexford, obviously, Doughty Waters announced his retirement during the week, so we wish him all the best. We turn our attention to hurling next with Shane McGrath.
RTE
2FM.
Game on
2FM with Green Farm. Get real with Green Farm's chicken and turkey range. Real protein, real tasty.
Game on.
Hurling.
Yes, hello. Once again, you're listening to Game On. I'm Shane Dawson. It is great to have your company on this Friday evening as we turn our attention now to hurling. We've heard from Neil Ewing on Gaelic football, and it's now the time for Shane McGrath to give us the lowdown on all things hurling that is coming up this weekend. Shane, let's start with the one fixture on Saturday in Division 1B. Tipperary versus Dublin, 5 p.m. down in the home of hurling, Semple Stadium. I think Tipperary fans seem to be still adjusting to the amount of ball their team are attempting to play through the lines. And now they'll be met with a very physical response from Dublin, I would imagine, who are back down in Thurles where they were so close. I was down there myself, so close yet so far away in their defeat against Cork last summer. So this should be one with not much between the two sides, you'd hope.
Yeah, I'd say it'll be a good game, Shane. It's funny, I was talking to someone about the tip thing, you know, that they're doing 7 or 8 short passes but still driving it in long. That's the way it was for some of the thing against Kilkenny. But I think that what you're seeing with tip is Colin Bonner is seeing that, you know, you have to go with a game plan that suits the group the best. And I think this will suit the tip lads. It mightn't be everyone's cup of tea, but I think that's what the management feel is going to work best for them. I think Tip and Dublin both made good starts in the league. Tip had wins against Laois, good win against Kilkenny the last day, while it mightn't have been pretty to watch for the first half, still won the game. Dublin likewise, you know, the really, really aggressive performance against Waterford and Parnell, we got a draw there. Tough from the last day against Antrim, Shane, you know, emotions were high, I think, because, you know, Matty Kenny lost his man, I think, that morning of the game. But I'd say the reaction and the response that they got in training since, you know, even when Matty Kenny would have went back in with him this week for training, they probably had a really good week, tough week training. But that his group of players performed, you know, they wanted to win themselves, Shane, but I'm sure that in the back of their minds they wanted to do it for Matty Kenny as well. So I think, I know what you're saying there, the last year against Cork in the Championship, they lost out. I think they've went down tamely the last 2 years in the Championship against Cork both times in Simple Stadium. So they'll be coming down wanting to banish the bad thoughts of those two performances, Shane, and want to put in a good performance against Tip. But lots of changes for Tip. Eight changes from the Kilkenny game. So look, I think Colin Bonner is trying out a lot of guys. Owen Connolly's getting a go. Paddy Cadell. Shamey's back full forward. Ronan is going to start. And I think one of the big things for Tip is not one of the starters, but actually one of the subs, in that the Bonner Maher is tugging out. So I think it's going to be a really, really good game. I think Tip will go into it full of confidence, and I think the lads coming in will want to impress, Shane. So I fancy Tip tomorrow night.
Okay, yeah, will be good, and really looking forward to seeing Bonner back in action as well. You mentioned Cork, obviously defeating Dublin last summer, so that moves our conversation onto Limerick versus Cork in the Gaelic grounds on Sunday at 4:15. And it seems like, listen, Limerick obviously are 0-2 in their league form, and even if they aren't targeting a league trophy as such, they'll certainly want to re-establish their authority. And Cork, I suppose, on the other hand, will want to show some force, and it's they who have probably slightly more to prove after the All-Ireland final last year. But it's a fixture I'm sure both panels, both management teams will have circled in big red marker and underlined in the diaries as soon as the schedule came out, Shane.
Yeah, and I suppose I'm sure maybe the more casual fans might realise that in 8 weeks' time, Shane, down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, Limerick, Cork play Limerick in the first round of the Munster Championship on the 17th of April. So that's how quick this thing is coming around. This time last year for me, it was similar for Limerick. They hadn't got a win. They're going into their third game. They played Cork in their third game in the league, and they scored 33 points against them, and they won that match by 8 points. And there was a bit of a backlash in them last year. And I suppose we all see what they did in the All-Ireland final. They racked up 3-32 against Cork. So Limerick, this Limerick group like playing against Cork. Physically, I don't think Cork are able to match them, and for years Cork have been kind of a team that if you went into a shootout with them, Cork would come out on top, but not with this Limerick group. And I just feel that with the disciplinary thing that happened with Gerard Hegarty in the Galway game, you know, they haven't been hitting their peak yet. They haven't won. They've had 2 losses. They're at home, and they would have had a really tough week training, I think, as well. You know, I think there's a big backlash coming in the Limerick group this Sunday, and I think Cork could be on the receiving end of it. Also, Keane Lynch is probably going to be back in the fray. He may not play, but I think, you know, kudos to John Kiely, let him off to play Fitzgibbon Cup. He obviously realises the value of the Fitzgibbon Cup. So even having him back in around the group all the time training, Cathal O'Neill came through a really tough physical battle against Galway, scored 4 points. You know, they have an abundance of talent. And as I said, I think they're going to be really, really hurt, Shane. And I think we could see that come out in a big, big performance at home in the Gaelic grounds against Cork at the weekend.
Yeah, certainly. We mentioned Conor McManus getting his red card rescinded. Seemingly is the same situation for Keane Lynch after the Fitzgibbon Cup. A couple of other fixtures in 1B. Antrim face Waterford and Kilkenny host Laois. And then in 1A, Offaly host Clare. Both teams looking for their first points of the campaign. But very briefly and finally, Shane, Galway versus Wexford in Pearse Stadium. Two teams who are both have 100% records going head-to-head on Sunday. Should be some clash.
Yeah, it will, and you've two new managers, Henry Shefflin versus Darry Egan. Pressure's off Wexford, I think, going to Salt Hill, Shane. I think their next game is against Offaly, and that's they'll target 2 points in that, I think, you know. But I think there was a lot of big physical hits against Clare for the Wexford lads, as there was for the Galway lads against Limerick. So I think you've two big physical teams. I like the way Wexford are playing. I like the way Dara has them set up. They don't really have an out-and-out sweeper, and the O'Keefe is getting that freedom to go where he wants. The O'Connor brothers are in great form, scored 113 between them against Clare. And, you know, we've all seen what Galway did. You know, Henry wanted to win that game. Self and John Kiley had a few words on the sideline. He had 9 different scorers in there. He had no Evan Nyland, who was a top player for them. Maybe he didn't want to play him for physical battle. So I think Galway will win this. You know, I think Salt Hill is a hard place to go to get a victory, and Henry knows if he can get a win here, they'd be on 6 points then, and they'd be looking good maybe to qualify. But I think the pressure is off Wexford, and I think that win against Clare the last day was massive. But I think maybe Galway at home, and with Henry Shefflin knowing that he has to go to Cork next, will want to get the sixth point on the board for them. So I'd say I fancy Galway just to get over the line against Wexford here at the weekend, Shane.
Okay, should be a great weekend of hurling. Shane McGrath, pleasure as always. Thank you very much. There ends our preview of this hurling weekend's fixtures. We'll be reviewing the action with Niall Moran on Monday. And when I say we, that is myself and Ruby Walsh will be joining me on Monday. He'll be back. But now we turn our attention to athletics. Ian O'Riordan is still live in studio with me. Ian, obviously the big one this weekend, the 2022 Irish Life Health National Senior Indoor Championships, the Sport Ireland National Indoor Arena is set to welcome over 500 athletes this weekend who will battle it out for national titles, while a select few will also be eyeing national and indeed championship records. A host of big star names, I suppose. Where to start? What catches your eye, and who should we be looking forward to most seeing this weekend? Because I know there are so many, so you know we'll probably be doing a disservice. We might leave one or two names out, but a host of stars on show.
Well, I think more than anything this year, Shane, is the fact that there's a real new generation of Irish athletes coming through. I mean, just looking down at some of the names here who've come out really and run some fast times already. Sarah Healy, Darren McAlinney, both just turned 21. Israel Olatunde, he's this young sprinter, still only 19. He's broke the under-23 record. Then we've got guys like Nicholas Griggs from Mid Ulster. I think this guy's a real sensation. He's just turned 17 and he's the first Irish teenager to break 8 minutes for 3,000 metres. And then we're not forgetting, of course, Rashida Adeleke. She's based in Texas at the moment. She's come out and broke a few underage records as well. So sometimes in a post-Olympic year, you get a bit of a slump and there's a lot of cobwebs being blown out. But there's been, a lot of records being broken right across the board. Kira McGeehan is injured, unfortunately. She's pulled her calf muscle, so she's not going to be there this weekend. We've seen some super fast mile times as well. Luke McCann, only 23, he's run a 3:53 mile. Andrews Coskin is in there as well. He's 3:53 mile as well. But if you're asking me what's the race to look out for, what could be the race of the day, I think that might be the men's 3,000 metres, where, as I say, you've got Darren McAlinney. Now, this is the young kid from Cork who won the silver medal in the European Cross Country last December. He's come out and ran a 7:45.9 3,000 metres. That's, I think, the fifth fastest ever. And then I mentioned Nicholas Griggs, just turned 17, and he ran 7:57 there a couple of weeks ago as well. So there's a real kind of showdown there amongst these kind of real new kids on the block. And people keep asking me, how fast is 7:57? I mean, without getting too personal about it, I remember my dad set an Irish senior record for 3,000 metres of 8:02. I think that stood for about 10 years until Gerry Kiernan finally broke 8 minutes. He ran 7:56, and now we've got a 17-year-old running 7:57. So this is the kind of quality times that we're talking about here.
So it certainly is. You mentioned that it is kind of a new generation, and I'd be hesitant to use the word transition because you've still got household names that will be in action, you know, Olympians, Phil Healy, you mentioned Darren McAhenney, so there is kind of kids coming through as well. And Conor Callanan, actually, I want to mention him as well. So it will be a senior championship action for only the second time And he's sure to play a huge role in what should be a super pole vault competition as well. So, I mean, when you're looking at kids this young performing at big levels as well, because no Irishman has ever made the Olympic stage in the pole vault, so that perhaps might change in future years.
Yeah, and it's great to see that. I think one of the weaknesses of Irish athletics over the years has been the lack of field eventers, especially male field eventers. But yeah, Conor came out last summer. He was still only 16 and he won a senior title out for Lee Vale. Now he's come out this season and he's jumped 4.75 metres. That's an under 20 record. And I think he seems to be improving with every height. It's funny, I was chatting to him during the week and he trains down in Lee Vale, but he can't actually use the indoor facility there because the roof isn't high enough, because if he's gone over 5 metres now, he needs a bit of clearance. So he's got to go, I think, to Nina or else to Dublin, to the indoor arena. So a bit of a handicap there when the roof isn't high enough. But you mentioned some of the old names there. Mark English, I think, is back on the track as well. Phil Healy. And in the back of their minds as well is trying to qualify for a World Indoor Championships, which are coming up in Belgrade next month. But I think more than anything, this season is about the outdoors, because you've got a European Championships, a proper European Championships in Munich. You've also got a World Championships in America. But I think the really positive thing as well, I mean, again, a special shout out for Sarah Healy. Just turned 21 last weekend and she ran a 4:06.9 in the Birmingham World Indoor Tour last weekend. She also finished second in a world-class field. So that's the kind of performance where she's not only running fast times, but she's racing well, she's competing well. And looking at her schedule, her potential this year, I'd say she's a potential finalist at the World Indoors. But I'd be very surprised if Israel Olatunde doesn't break the Irish senior record. What is it now? 6.61. It's stood to Paul Hessian since 2007, which seems like a lifetime ago away. He's got it down to 6.64. It'd be nice to see Israel break the Irish record this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Sarah Healy, you know, under 23, 1500 metre record breaker. When you're going through the list of the previews, there's just so many record breakers to see.